Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Are we ready to go? Pete, you're here to be eating a stir fry. you're on the phone. What's happening here?
Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe, and this is the Football Ramble.
Come on in, it's the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely to have you with us. My name's Marcus, and I've got two friends, not three. Jim's still up in Edinburgh doing some lols, but Pete's here.
Genki desu ka?
And Luke is also here.
All right.
What a thrilling trio it is, I think we'll all agree. Right then, we're going to start off with an opening question. Conventional stuff. Now, Neil Warnock...
Yeah.
He's put his foot in it again. He said he was pleased that his team were knocked out of the League Cup. This is despite almost 5,000 people, human beings, paying to watch the match. Which I think...
I'm pleased you specified human beings.
It's not the thirst for football that you expect like three games into the season. I'm glad we're not going to play any more football.
Yeah,
I'm glad the fans might not have something to jeer about.
I thought I missed it, but I'm telling you, it's rubbish. It's rubbish.
No Wembley for us. What is the most disrespectful thing a manager has said? We could spend a whole hour on this, but we won't. Pete's going
to
go first.
Well, it's hard to sort of ride that line. Can you ride a line between managerial outburst and disrespect?
Mine's an outburst.
But I think Bayern Munich knocking Manchester United out of the Champions League and Alex Ferguson going, no, typical German.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
And I don't know what he thought the effect would be. Did he expect, like, a nation who is, you know, notably we sort of are very big on the fact that apparently we won some sort of war back in the day? Did he expect everyone to go, yeah, good on you. Good on you, Alex. Good on you, Sir Alex.
That was also a very sort of particular brand of petty disrespect as well.
Yeah.
Which exactly. I think he should be applauded for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was almost like, it's over now, there's nothing I can do. Yeah. That was like a David Hay toe, wasn't it? A very petty sort of excuse.
Typical German. Winning again.
And it wasn't even like that. Their team isn't all Germans anyway.
No, I know.
It's an international side.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. Good start, strong start. Yeah. Lukey.
Which one are you lot, Simon Bird?
Which one of you is Charles Insomnia?
Can I say it or not?
Joking here.
You're a c. The best thing is the transcript. Which one are you, Simon Bird? Me. You're a c. Thank you very much.
You did say that.
They remind me of like Alan Partridge when he gets like shouted at us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He does that because you know.
Thank you.
When Alan Partridge does that and he starts going with Tony Hayes and he goes, "Who do you think you are?" Joe Kinnear does that towards the end of the exchange when the journalists have started to prove that they've not actually said what he thought they said.
Yeah.
At the end, he just goes, "Oh, you're negative bastards, the pair of you." That's really disrespectful.
But
your first press conference in the job.
How many times did he say the C word in that press conference?
I think
conference?
It was 52 times in 5 minutes. He swore 52 times in 5 minutes.
Oh, okay, but that was a cascade of swear words rather than specifically the C word. It was just unprecedented in this country.
I cannot emphasise enough how much it was his first press conference in the job. It's not like he's an old hand. He can get away with it. He'd only just
You've
got
been
there.
Annoying me for a while there. Yeah. Oh, he hasn't worked.
What's got Joe Kinnear's ire up? Yeah. 10 years of not feeling a job, possibly.
It's got to be that.
Didn't he blame it on, like, oh, well, it's just where I'm from, people talk like that or something?
Yeah, he said language of the working class. Language of the working class.
Again, being disrespectful to a big group of people. As well as a
room. Because football journalists are usually, like, the landed classes, aren't they? Yeah.
The gentry. What are these
piece of this man's peppering his words.
It's after Royal Correspondent, you go to football journalist, don't you?
That's my joke in here. Excellent. Immensely disrespectful.
Excellent. Could I have a chairman instead of a manager?
All right, then.
We'll allow it. Freddie Shepherd.
Oh, yeah.
Right. When he left the club, didn't he? And he just slagged everybody off, and like even to the point of he even said all women from Newcastle are dogs.
Well, no, he was still chief exec there, wasn't he?
He was there at the time.
It was under John Hall, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he basically said that we make these shirts and they're like 2 pence to make or something, and these idiots. He was showing off to a girl, at the time.
In a brothel.
Yeah.
Allegedly. And didn't he say...
Let's not say that.
Didn't he say...
I don't think it was in a brothel.
I think it was.
Okay, well, we'll see. Listeners, if you can hear this, Pete, check the internet.
I don't think it was a 2v1. He wasn't...
Okay, well, he also said that one of the funniest parts of that was he said, oh, Alan Shearer, he's boring, isn't he? We call him Mary Poppins. That's what he said about Alan Shearer.
Yeah, but he did specifically say that all women, Newcastle women are dogs. Yeah. Because there were interviews with fans, and one guy was like... called my wife a dog.
Yeah.
That's what he did. So yeah, I'm going Freddie Shepherd.
Bang on. That's a good one, but it's not strictly a manager.
Okay, well, I've got a manager one as well then.
Go on.
Just quickly then. When Arsene Wenger first joined Arsenal, and he started saying, it was something like there should be a winter break, or he was saying that the format isn't great here.
Yeah.
And Alex Ferguson got his back up, and they said, what do you think about all this? And he went, well, He's only been here 2 minutes, you know. He's come from Japan. It's absolutely super. Yeah. So I'll have that one then, if I can't have Freddie.
Ferguson's had a couple of sweary outbursts at times, though, hasn't he? He's like, yeah. There was one recently where when a journalist talked about Ryan Giggs about his affair or something, and he just sort of quietly sort of said to the head of press, just went, Who asked that question?
Yeah.
He's not getting in to the press conference. It's just a really nasty sort of snide sort of...
He also did the L when someone questioned Varane.
He
used a lot of dickheads. He's a great player. Use a lot of dickheads.
Gordon Bennett. Points need to be dished out.
Jim's got the points, has he?
I think you've got a hat-trick. Luke.
Get in there, boys.
Come on.
Come on, joking here. That is the ultimate, isn't it?
I think it's more of an outburst rather than disrespect.
52 swear words in 5 minutes.
Yeah. What are you disrespecting? The idea of journalists...
I aspire to 52 swear words in 5 minutes on this podcast.
That's my writing speed. My typing speed. Yeah.
Just swear words. Yeah. Right, let's move on to the Premier League. Arsenal 0. Liverpool got 2 goals and they won 2-0.
That's
how it works. Ramsey and Suarez. Suarez came on and changed the game. Did you see on Goals on Sunday, Trevor Brooking said that Suarez was told before the match by Mr. Dalglish, he said, you're being left out today. And he was like, it's fine, I don't mind playing on the left. Like, no, you're not playing. I like his attitude.
Did he keep dropping, like, really, not like, no, you're right out the side. Oh, I'll play on the right, that's fine. I'm being up front of you here. I'll play up front as well.
The central point I'm trying to make, that's okay as well. I like the attitude of Suarez. Yeah, fine, just happy to play.
Yeah, yeah.
You're out. Outfield, perfect.
I'm not going to keep keeper, fine. that's literally it.
That is it.
That's all of them.
Arsenal. Oh dear. Frimpong. What do we think of him?
Yeah, I think he's the Terminator. That's what I think.
I think he lost his head a bit.
The reason he looked a good player though. To be fair.
He looked really good. Yeah, he looked comfortable, and I think it's easy to forget that he looked like he was going to be. Maybe not on Wilshere's level, but coming through the same age as Wilshere, and he had a setback or two.
Do you think he's heard all the complaints? We need a defensive midfielder, and he's just like, right, boys, I won't let you down.
Yeah, but
it just went off.
But that's what I think the referee sent him off.
We want one for the season.
He was sent off because they literally wouldn't be able to stop him playing if they didn't send him off. Yeah, it's the only language he understands. He's not the Terminator, he's T-1000. He just keeps coming. Yeah.
He's not going to excite the Arsenal fans as is, though, at the moment. Though.
Head moustache?
He has got a head moustache, he does.
Seriousness, though, he looked a really good player in that role.
I think the Arsenal fans like him, don't they? I think
they like him, but they're not going to go... It's not going to be a Renato Vanasio fan.
So it's not going to sate their sort of thirst for new players. No, I understand that.
It's a bit, yeah. I mean, you know, if you look at some of the names... that came on, you know, Ignacy Miguel came on for Koscielny, Lansbury came on for Arshavin. Now, you know, decent players, good young players, but if you're paying 50, 60, 70, whatever it is at the Emirates these days for a ticket, you want to see a bit more bang for your buck.
Well, I think one thing is, I'd like to single Nasri out for praise, because on the pitch he acquitted
leaving.
Himself. Well, no, on the pitch he acquitted himself really well. And, and I know it's tempting to say, well, yeah, he's only a footballer doing his job, but you've seen players in the past who are mentally out the door. That's who aren't right. being picked and who aren't performing, and he played well. He did try his best.
He did,
you know.
Yeah.
But it's one match and he's contracted to play football, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Indeed. Luke, you on Twitter recently, you were talking about how Arsene Wenger gets a lot of stick.
Oh yeah, I think it's completely over the top. The press he gets, the negative press he gets for, and it's not. I mean, if Wenger needs to leave Arsenal or not, is, you know, is open for debate, I suppose. But it's not. If he does leave, it's not because he hasn't won anything in 6 years. That's a ridiculous. That's a completely fatuous argument, in my opinion. Arsenal or Manchester United and Liverpool went years and years without winning the title as well. Mm. And you know, there was no. It's just one of those things, isn't it? Football's a cyclical thing. You've got to play the long game. I think to Arsenal fans who are depressed about the current situation, they shouldn't be depressed, because they are set up long-term the best in the UK. They're the best set-up club, the best-run club in the country. And they may not be competing against this sort of, what is effectively, as Wenger says, financial doping of Man City and Chelsea.
Well, completely.
And he's still, and the reason he's under fire is because he's being judged on his own standards, which he raised so high for Arsenal in the first place.
Yeah.
And he's just falling short of them, you know.
I think to question Wenger's managerial capabilities is silly. I think there are some things, though, that he hasn't done, and he's clearly not strengthened massively when he could have done.
Hmm.
And they haven't won a trophy. It is a big statistic. They haven't won a trophy for so long.
But
if Arsenal go at the end of the season, they finish fourth, do you think he'd still be there? Do you think there'll be a bit of a backlash against him?
I think he's qualified for the Champions League every year for absolutely ages.
It's a big
week from this week, though.
Oh, yeah, you
know,
yeah,
He didn't come off particularly well at the weekend, and, you know, this match coming up.
Well, by the time this comes out, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Arsenal and Udinese.
But I think it's just more the fact that there's so much money sloshing around, or rather, there's so much money sloshing around, specifically being chucked around by a couple of clubs, and there are those players out there that are going for that 30, 40 million, like the Falcao and a couple of others. You're telling me that somebody like that would not improve Arsenal?
Of course they would, but that money being spent, for Falcao as the example, is a kick on from Man City paying that money for Aguero, and then Atletico have that money, and then they go and spend it. It's the same with Carroll going to Liverpool because they had the money from Torres, isn't it? It's effectively only the same amount of cash.
But you've got a generation of Arsenal supporters who have seen players for the future, and that future has never come, really. You know,
because they've moved on.
They've either moved on, or they've just come to, they've hit 23, and, you know,
I refer to my previous point. So the two biggest departures from Arsenal this season have been Nasri and Fabregas. Now, Fabregas is a different kettle of fish. I mean, Fabregas would want to go to Barcelona from any club.
Yeah.
So that's fine. There's nothing you can do about that. It's just one of those things. Okay, they reap what they sow. They sort of got him from Barcelona. They knew he always wanted to go back there. Would Nasri have left Arsenal for any other club if Man City and Chelsea weren't run by sugar daddies? Probably not. So what's he competing with? There's nothing he can do about it, is there? Now, I'm not saying he hasn't made mistakes. He obviously has. And it's not a great statistic, the trophy-less period. But it's not a big deal long-term, is what I'm saying.
But for every Nasri and Fabregas that have left, they've still got, like, I don't know, Arshavin and a couple of players that aren't really pulling their weight.
Arshavin's been absolutely scandalous.
And you just sort of think, well, why can't he motivate that player who is on...
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. It's a fair point.
Indeed it is. His opposite number in North London, Harry Redknapp.
Well, he gets amazing press.
The press Redknapp does get is perhaps a little bit generous. They lost to Manchester United, of course, 3-0. Talking of young players and whatnot, Manchester United looking good. Welbeck and Rooney, still a young player.
Effectively, he is, isn't he? Yeah. Really, it's just weird. I mean, a lot of players peak early these days, but he is still, you know, he's not exactly pushing on.
Do you fact look that I like?
The only three players that started the game for United were born when Ferguson took over: Evra, Rooney, and Young. I think
that is horrible, isn't it? Yeah. That is horrible. To think
I'd love to. I'd love to get a picture of like of Ferguson like holding Tom Cleverley as a baby. That'd be brilliant. Like,
as you go around the wards in Manchester,
yeah,
just
them.
In case.
Yeah,
I knew he was going to be good.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see it in him.
Beating the other nine.
But I mean, Spurs were overwhelmed in sort of the last half hour against United, weren't they? Mm. I mean, they moved Huddleston and Van der Vaart into the middle, which is crazy, and then had Pavlyuchenko in the far front. They just got completely.
You don't expect Van der Vaart to play a conventional central midfield.
He was knackered already.
Yeah,
and Huddleston. You know, tries, he can move the ball around, but you know, he's not
himself.
He's not the slightest fellow. Is
I've identified a striker that that Harry Redknapp could buy.
Yeah,
or loan.
Oh yeah, who's that?
I identified him. Put a picture of him on Twitter.
No one believed you, did they?
No one believed me that Adebayor was in London.
Yeah,
but he was.
So you saw him with your own eyes.
I saw him with my own eyes. I don't know what he looks like. And everyone in the room was going, "There is Adebayor."
And you have a strict, "I don't take pictures of Adebayor lookalikes."
Exactly.
It's a rule.
And the problem was that Adebayor was sort of hunched down a little bit, and Asokoto was sort of on a step. He does what I do to try to gain extra height near tall people by sort of going on his tippy toes.
Mm.
And so yeah, I was a little bit put out by the fact that a few Spurs fans were questioning my Adebayor my Adebayor integrity.
Well, it's a worthy rant. Guillaume Balaguer, the Spanish journalist we all know and love on Twitter, has been defending David De Gea because obviously he's had a few errors since coming.
He's settling in. He's a young man. Yeah.
Well, we all know that.
Yeah.
But he's been getting a lot of stick, and Balaguer's come out and defended him. And he said, "David De Gea, not just good, he is extraordinary. People doubting De Gea. Seriously, it will be a feast of eaten words at the end of the season." Balaguer's backing his man.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that someone at Spurs told all the players to shoot from all angles.
Do you have any idea who that someone might have been?
It was definitely either Harry Redknapp, Joe Jordan or Kevin Bond. Possibly Tim Sherwood, maybe Les Ferdinand.
I'm going Redknapp.
Yeah.
That is Redknapp tactics to a T, isn't it?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, like, he'll just say to the fullback, "Win every header and don't let the winger past you."
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And it could be the next England manager.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Oh, talking of England managers, did you see on Goals on Sunday? Fabio Capello and Trevor Brooken. I mentioned Brooken earlier.
He does not give a shit.
Odd couple. A man who's just so comfortable in his own skin and his own beauty and his own wealth that he doesn't even want to... He doesn't even want to sort of please anyone by answering a question properly. No. I love it.
The England manager, a man with... years and years of playing and management experience. I'd say as a player and a manager, he's probably got about 50 years experience. I think it was Chris Kamara or Ben Shepherd said to him, "And Liverpool might have a selection headache when Gerrard comes back. Yeah, what do you think, Fabio?" "Gerrard's good."
"Good player."
Good player.
"I have his Panini card."
He doesn't care.
Brooking was like his translator as well.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
They're a great duo.
They're like Morecambe and Wise.
TV show is needed there. What I love about Capello, though, sorry, is just that it's like, you know, like those dictators who people say, "But your people aren't happy," and they go, "What?" They don't have a clue what you're talking about. Yeah. No, I think you'll find, actually. Capello's almost like that. "Why on earth were you playing 4-4-2?
What's it got to do with you?"
He's just like,
"I think we won the game, didn't we?" "No, we didn't." "No, you didn't."
"I think we're fourth, you know, in the rankings."
Yeah. Yeah. "Have you seen the FIFA ranking? Then shut up." Keep him on.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to say it, and I want you two to agree with me. Job for life.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And Brooking should get it on holidays.
Yeah,
okay. I'd love to see Brooking in the dugout.
He's just a really nice bloke from
And he knows how he realises the direction that England has to go necessarily, and you know.
Yeah, in charge of. Yeah, he's one man certainly that is championing a change of style, shall we say, for this. A much needed change of style in the way that the youth play football in this country.
Hmm.
And well done, Trevor, for that. Right then, the same can't be said perhaps about Neil Warnock, but his QPR side got a brilliant win away to Everton. They rode their luck a little.
Leighton Baines almost scored a beautiful free kick. It's a sensational.
I like Leighton Baines, a good player.
He's one of the best set piece takers in the country.
Yes.
It's so unlucky, off the underside of the bar. Unfortunate.
Mm. He was smiling a lot, wasn't he,
Warnock loves it. He's massive Jekyll and Hyde, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He's the most angry man in the world.
Yeah, but you need him in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Once again, we go back to the point, he's not boring.
And also, QPR, I think, have just reduced their season, their ticket prices.
Yeah,
under their new owner.
Well, that's because they're not. They've decided that they're not going to go out and win every game. We can't charge them full price.
All right, look, we'll take the price down because we don't give a shit about winning. So it's only fair.
Yeah. Barton's talking to them apparently.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Joey Barton. Well, he might have signed by now.
Parker.
Barton, Barton and Turat in the same team.
Oh yes,
I'm in. Count me in.
That'll be a punch. That'll be a punch up before the end of the
got
season.
Got to get down there for that.
Did you see Wolves against Fulham? And Wolves won. It was a good win for Wolves.
A very good win.
2-0. McCarthy after the game. You must be pleased, Mick. Well, 2 down, 36 to go.
You're joint top of the league. Savour it.
Laugh it up, Mick. Laugh it up. To be fair, he was a bit more cheerful after that. Yeah, that's what he said initially.
Yeah.
Happy Christmas, Mick.
Well, it'll be one next year, won't it?
Unless I die.
Yeah. Which will be a relief.
I think the one sort of signing that might have slipped a little bit under the radar is Roger Johnson for Wolves.
Mm. Yeah.
$5 million.
$5 million.
It's not bad, is it?
Mm. Indeed. Not bad at all. Oh, not bad at all, Petey. Is Newcastle winning the first North East derby of the season?
There's a cracking free kick. He's been threatening to do that for like 3 seasons.
Yeah, yeah. It was a beautiful free kick. Yeah, to be brilliant.
They should have had a pen as well.
Yeah, oh God, that was stupid.
I thought Barton's head was going to come off.
Catamol is the dirtiest player I think I have ever seen.
Why'd Catamol down to get the most red cards of the Premier League season?
Yeah, I think that's not a bad shout.
Safe bet.
Yeah, I don't know. He gets yellows. I don't think he gets that many reds. Coloccini's leg nearly snapped at one point
as
well. That
awful
was Barnsley, was it?
Yeah, Barnsley did walk, obviously. But the Coloccini thing, if he just slightly got his foot out of the ground the last minute, otherwise that was a real career end of that. Awful to see. It was over the top of the ball as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if he meant it as such, but it was a dangerous one.
It's a horrible challenge.
The one thing that will stop Catamol getting that many red cards is the fact that he'll probably spend a lot of time suspended, so he won't be able to play.
Yeah, that's right.
Checked your day for some reason, my great love in the fine game of football. He just went a bit mad and just
unrequited love.
he was dribbling through his own box. He nearly, to be fair, I think someone possibly could have had a penalty at a couple of points.
More of that, though. We want more of that.
Exactly.
Good match.
Lovely stuff. Oh, a quick international roundup. Swansea 0, Wigan 0.
Hey! Point for the Supers. And I thought they were a little bit unlucky,
actually. And the Wigs.
What about Mr.? There's missed penalties all over the place. There was a missed penalty in that game.
Yep.
There was a saved penalty by Ruddy for Norwich, who had a great game at home to Stoke City.
Oh, nearly got the first win.
Norwich did.
In the Premier League this season.
Last minute.
Yeah.
It was a really harsh penalty, and the player that got sent off, the referee, who I'd never heard of before, he's called Neil Swarbrick.
Like it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he had a rubber red card. It was like a plasticky rubber red card.
Because, well, you don't want it to be an actual card, yeah.
Well, I'd like it to be a piece of laminated card.
Yeah, no,
because then you'd have
that,
like a border of laminate, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't mind that.
Well, I'm not having
trim
that.
Trim it down.
If you trimmed it down, you'd still need still need something round it, wouldn't
Isn't
you?
Isn't there circular red cards?
Yeah, somewhere? A couple of them rocking the circular one.
Like
no, I don't.
Is
either.
There a choice? Have you got to get your own red card?
Yeah, I think you probably
this
have.
Is fascinating.
Yeah, get your.
And the red card should always be kept in the back pocket.
Yeah.
Because
as soon as he goes for it, preferably in a buttoned pocket, so he has to undo it.
At least you'd have it in their ear or in their mouth.
The best distributor of a red card was the Mexican referee in the 1990 World Cup, obviously.
Oh, the final, in the final.
Well, he was in the final, yeah. Wonderful distribution of red.
I think he should have to put it from behind the player's ear like a magic trick.
Oh, you're off.
Oh, there you go. What's it going to be?
What's that? It's beyond your ear.
Pick a card. Is it that one?
Yeah.
No, well, sort of. Right, in the Championship, big win. In for Peterborough against Paul Jewell's Ipswich 7-1.
Yeah,
Paul Jewell was very, very childish about one of his players.
Really?
I forget which player, but he was asked about him because he got sent off or something, and he went, "Well, I'm just not talking to him anymore. I'm fed up of him making these decisions, and I'm not talking to him anymore." Good manager.
Future England manager?
He was touted.
He was touted when
McLaren got it, he was touted.
No, he wasn't.
I'm telling you,
he was touted. You had one good season in the Premier League and, you know, it's the keys to...
I'm not being funny.
Look it up.
Harry Redknapp's much better than him.
Yeah, I'm not disputing that.
You know, the ramble would do better. Yeah. Well, that's not true. Jules are professional. I think Jules are right. Nottingham Forest 2, Leicester City 2, Stevie Sven.
Yeah.
Ends in a draw. Of course it does.
Class.
Of course it does.
Titans.
And it's just fitting that it was a derby as well. I love stuff there.
Yeah. Oh, I would have liked them both to have sat on the same bench.
How much subtext do you want in that game?
Yeah, cigars all round after.
They started off really badly, didn't they, Forrest? And they came back and sort of got some.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. I think 2-0 down. Yeah.
It'd be a real pity if Forrest can't kick on. I'd got a feeling that they'll.
You love them.
Yeah. I love them.
I like them as well.
They've missed out so many times, like Cardiff.
Yeah,
I've heard sorry for Jones though.
John.
He's gone. He's long gone.
Oh, dear. Down in League 2, Paolo Di Canio. Pete, you kind of predicted this scenario. They've lost their last three games, Swindon. It could be four by the time this comes out.
I said he'd be gone by Christmas.
You did. Paolo Di Canio, he says he's thriving off the pressure that comes from losing games.
It's all part of the plan.
Yeah.
At what point is he going to pull a tracksuit on and start training with the lad?
I'm sticking my neck out now. I reckon he'd still be decent. As a player in League 2.
Oh, totally, yeah. He was sent to the stands. He was sent to the stands last weekend, I think. But he said that a nightmare is like food to him.
Good stuff.
Yeah, food and drink.
That'd be a great consolation to the Swindon fan. Sure.
A nightmare is like food to me.
Yeah, excellent stuff. In Scotland, Rangers are top of the league on goal difference after beating Motherwell 3-0.
That is like food to you, Marcus.
It's food to
haggis
everybody.
To you.
I see that.
I don't know. Stuart McCall's Motherwell. Shame.
Celtic lost 1-0 at home, didn't they? To St. John's.
They did. Now that is a big result. You see, I tell you, it's full of surprises.
Neil Lennon took it well.
Neil Lennon takes everything well. You know, apart from bad news.
Chris Commons missed a penalty, didn't he?
Chris Commons missed a penalty. That really irked Lennon. He said. We had a penalty that we couldn't convert. I'm sick of it. Absolutely raging he was.
If I was a Celtic fan, I'd just be like, I'm not sure I even like him.
Yeah. Don't worry, he's never win round the corner. Yeah. That's what I think. And it was Peter Enkelman in goal for St Johnstone, the former Aston Villa and Blackburn keeper. And I always forget that Jody Morris, ex-Chelsea, is captain of St Johnstone.
Yeah.
And still has a career.
And still. and speaking of people who still have a career, El Hadj Diouf, he's wanting to move back to Rangers, saying he doesn't want to play for Blackburn anymore.
Okay.
And he described the Old Firm matches as war, but good war.
That's fine. Some war is good.
Some nightmares are
true.
Food.
Yeah. Listen to Edwin Starr.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's all I ask. That is all I ask. Now, in Spain. The Scotland of the South. The players are they're on strike because they're demanding for more salary guarantees. I think this is to do with the La Liga or the Spanish League pot for players who aren't getting paid by their clubs.
It's one of those ones where like the league doesn't have a points penalty for people going into administration. So it's like, I mean, Zaragoza, Santander and Betis, they're all in administration and people just aren't getting paid. And it's
I don't see much about it, but I know that in the second tier there are a load of players who've not been paid.
Yeah.
Which has obviously got to be sorted out.
Well, they want this kind of a kitty, I suppose, to be doubled, is that right? I think they want it to be doubled.
Yeah, just
and that's the sticking point.
Yeah, they've got just 8 million in the pot, and it's like, if you think how much players actually earn, it's ridiculous. But I mean, I would like to throw my hat into the ring as a scab. I would be willing to play for.
Would you, yeah? Cross the picket line.
Scab.
Yeah.
I would be a scab La Liga player.
Falco's thinking, this is brilliant. I haven't got to do anything. I haven't got to do anything.
What a signing for Atleti.
Yeah, no, brilliant. I mean,
nearly 35 million.
It's a pity that a lot of Spanish football gets played on the ground. He's never going to get a header. He's the best header of the ball in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Go to England.
He's the best header, or the best header for Porto since Mario Yardel. Yeah, remember
that's
him?
That's a bit remember Yardel. Yeah. He was a big boy when he went to Bolton.
Yeah.
You know, at Rangers, they thought that they'd signed him. And I think a friend of mine used to go and watch him play.
You've only got to play Champions League games.
Not Ronaldo. And they had a song in at Ibrox, like a piece of commentary. It was like some, you know, silly Rangers song or whatever. And there was a piece of commentary which was Mario Jardel scores for Rangers. They thought they'd wrapped it up.
Well, they already did that.
Yeah,
they
obviously went to Porto.
God.
Scored a hat-trick away to Milan in the Champions League, though.
Atletico have bought a Diego fella from Wolfsburg.
Is that confirmed, yeah?
By his dad. I think they've confirmed terms, basically. They've reached terms, you know, and he's clearly out of the door, so...
Diego was instrumental in getting McLaren the sack.
He was, yeah.
He's well known as being an awful man, Diego. Yeah.
He's perfect for athletic.
Yeah. The game that I think it was the game was certainly around the time that McLaren was fired.
Oh, that's when he missed the penalty.
Yeah. He wasn't even supposed to take the penalty. And then and then there was talk of, like, there was like a rumour. I don't know if it's true that he was like,
well,
missed it on
purpose.
Well,
I think he hit the bar, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
It would be a good shot.
Yeah.
But you'd expect a professional football. Well, you expect him to score, I suppose. now, Getafe. They want people to donate sperm so they can get a bigger fan base.
They should have come to us. They could have sponsored the sperm race part of the show.
Well, I was about to say.
Yeah.
You know, is some of love, is there a joke in there? I don't know.
That's what we like to hear, long-term strategy. Long-term plan. You don't see that enough in football. No. Long-term plan.
Now, if you think Arsene Wenger is being a bit...
Yeah, long-termist. One for the future.
Sooner
20
or later,
years.
If Wenger stays at Arsenal, he will sign a globule of sperm. I've heard good things about it.
Don't say
donated
globule.
By Jim Campbell.
Yeah,
it would be fitting. Now we move to Germany, of course, where police are hunting a small group of fans. I think they're Cologne fans. They're thought to have been throwing cups of piss and feces at rival supporters during a Bundesliga game. This was the Schalke 5-1.
Yeah.
Remember the 5-1? We talked about that.
Yeah,
Podolski scoring and Raul with a lovely chip. Well, or scoop rather. Is that?
Yeah, scoop.
A pooper scooper.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's right. The objects thrown, the piss and the poo, were described as disgusting missiles.
To be fair, they served that up at Fratton Park and charge you for it. I don't know what they're complaining about.
Well,
disgusting missile. It's like a hot dog.
I love that. An article I was reading about this said a witness is reported to have seen one man put feces in a beer cup.
I like the word put, not pooed.
That goes in there.
I am placing this in there. Because the president of Cologne is actually Wolfgang Overath. I think played for West Germany against England in 66.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And
simpler times.
I wonder if you'd asked him back then, what do you reckon you'd be doing in 2011? He'd probably be thinking about, like, robot football, space cars. No, you're going to be making a comment about your fans throwing piss and shit at other fans. Shoot me now. That's what he'd be thinking.
With a disgusting missile.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. It's not what we like to see, is it?
The times are a-changing.
It's a crud missile.
Good. Oh, very good. Very good.
Pissile.
Works as well. Works as well. In Hoffenheim... an employee has apologised for using a high frequency sound system. This was to shut the Dortmund fans up or drown them out, as it says. Hoffenheim won 1-0.
Germany's great value, isn't it?
Isn't it just?
It's low ticket prices. Then when you chuck in the fact that you've got all this stuff going on, it's great entertainment.
Exactly. I'd pay 30 quid to hear a high frequency sound.
Can you imagine that, though? Piss?
You've got
in piss with this noise.
Yeah. Did I tell you what? I must have said
how was
this.
The game, love? Been better.
I've got tinnitus and I'm covered in shit. Thanks.
I must have told you when I went to watch Boca Juniors play, didn't I? I got spat on a couple of times. They stupidly put the away fans above the home fans.
Yeah.
And there was one moment where, because it's all standing, and in an absolute shambles of a stand, you know.
Well, the bomb and errors.
Yeah. Once, oh dear. And the way it was Kilmes, and the guy, there was one bloke, and he was kind of perched in a sort of odd position. He's called leading with a willy over in like above us, you know. Suddenly, everyone just dispersed. And he just, it's a bit pissing. Just slashing.
No, some people can't even use the urinals.
But, like, I'm telling you, though, it went on for about a minute and a half. He must have stored that for about a week. It was absolutely sensational. And there was a bloke.
After a while, they were just all applauding.
Yeah.
Give him his credit.
Yeah. And there was a bloke next to me who happened to be Swiss. And I went, this is an absolute disgrace. And he went, well, it's similar to what happens in England, is it not? Like, bloody not.
I thought you were going to say. And he went, I'm not getting involved.
Oh dear.
Good.
Yeah. Right, where did we get to? Oh yeah, apparently there was some football as well in the Bundesliga last week, and quite a few goals were scored. Mainz 2, Schalke 4. Schalke 3 scoring.
Yeah.
Werder Bremen 5, Freiburg 3. Bayern 5, Hamburg 0.
Yeah.
They're through at the Champions League now, aren't they?
Champions League. And then Borussia Mönchengladbach 4, Wolfsburg 1. Goals.
I watched that match. It was brilliant.
Wolfsburg
absolutely brilliant.
Was the four goals that they conceded anything to do with the fact that Wolfsburg have signed Kyriakos? He might not have played in time.
I think it was McLaren.
I really like that Bobadilla character. He's just big. He's just like a big battering ram.
You like
proper
a big man,
Shearer,
don't you?
Proper Shearer sort of front man.
Do you like him more than you like Akinfenwa?
No. Akinfenwa. You sent me a picture on Twitter of him looking just magnificent.
Yeah.
If anything, he's put on weight.
You said he's a footballing bungalow.
He's
put on weight.
He's put on weight. In the chest.
He's a sort of like, you know, like players like Grant Holt, who, like someone said to me on Twitter, this guy who follows me on Twitter, Neil, said, Grant Holt doesn't like summer. You know, he doesn't like summer.
Winter's well.
I reckon if you went to Grant Holt and said, oh, how was pre-season? He'd go, oh, it's a nightmare, I hated it. If you went to Akinfenwa, how was pre-season? He'd go, what? What? Pre-season? Nah. Don't know what you mean.
Is that the bit where I just eat for ages? For a whole summer?
Oh, the bit where the football doesn't interrupt my eating. Yeah.
The bit where I'm away. Right, let's go to Russia. Samuel Eto's moved. He's bloody gone.
Despite our protest,
he didn't listen to us, did he?
No.
Absolutely incredible.
He's going to earn reportedly £19.7 million a year after tax and become the world's highest paid player. 3-year deal.
I heard it was, I don't know what that works out as per week, but I heard it's £380,000 a week.
Gordon Bennett. I spent the afternoon just watching his goals on YouTube.
That's what all the fans.
His goal record for Milan at Inter is just something else. My goodness.
Yeah.
As Mark has rightly said last week, he's still one of the world's best strikers.
Yeah. Indeed he is. Another one of the world's best strikers has gone to the LA Galaxy, Robbie Keane, and set up by Dybala.
Yeah,
he scored his first goal.
Bruce Arena stuck the boot in, didn't he?
That's right.
Well, did he?
He said, I didn't think much of his somersault. He used to do it a bit better when he was younger. Oh. He scored for you.
That's an attempt at humour.
That's a Redknapp-esque.
Did you hear the commentary when he scored?
Irish eyes are smiling. Robbie Keane, welcome to Hollywood.
Lovely. I sort of like that.
Yeah, I do as well. Yeah. It's what it should be.
Welcome to Hollywood.
It's what it should be.
Did Robbie Keane then go, no, I'm from here? I love LA Galaxy.
Come on.
Et cetera,
indeed. In Australia, Harry Kewell's gone home. Yeah. Signed for the Melbourne Victory.
Yeah,
he's playing there in the Australian for the first time.
Nice to
see you, Pete.
No,
it's still one of the best wingers in the world.
I sort of forgot about him, really. But he has played quite a bit for Galatasaray. He played about 90-odd games for them.
Really? Oh, okay.
It's not too bad, you know. And I'll tell you what, he scored a few goals in the Europa League last season. I think it was last season, maybe the season before. Mm. He actually did okay.
He'll be good in Australia, surely.
But the thing about Kiel is, no one doubts that he's decent.
Yeah.
He just doesn't apply himself.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. And he has been unlucky with injuries at times. But when you see him perform to his capacity, he was such a great footballer.
Oh, absolutely.
In the days of the Leeds United, one of the nation's best. Or the babies. David O'Leary's babies.
No, don't touch my babies.
Right then, we're off to Wanky Manor, or as Seth would call it, the FIFA house. Holland are up to first place in the world rankings. Haven't even played, but they're up there. Spain dropped a place after losing to Italy the other week, and Brazil's 3-2 loss against Germany has put them from fourth to sixth. So England deservedly back in fourth.
England are better than Brazil, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like it.
Agreed.
I have no problem with that.
It's like a pissing roulette wheel.
Yeah.
And then Germany are in third. I didn't realise the friendlies hold such significant value because on the basis.
Nor are the players.
No, that's right. Neither does Sven.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Now, no sooner has Jack Warner gone that his position of just general awful bloke in FIFA has been replaced quite handsomely by Ricardo Teixeira. I mean, Teixeira's been a bit of a git for a while, but he's excelling himself recently. And he's being probed at the moment over an alleged £3.5 million. There's a payment to a company in Brazil.
Before you go into this, it's worth pointing out to our listeners who aren't aware that Ricardo Teixeira was the FA's choice to replace Sepp Blatter. And please continue.
So he was. Yeah. And he hates the English media. He said, I will make it really difficult for the English when they come, if they come to Brazil.
It's the thin edge of a FIFA wedge, to be fair.
I don't know if there is a thin edge. It's a wedge that just doesn't work.
A woeful
it's so
wedge.
Fat all the way through.
A wedge of money.
Yeah.
It's
a block.
FIFA block. It sent us around a friendly match. It was between Brazil and Portugal in 2008, and it was alleged that public money was paid to a company in Rio. To help promote the market and organise the match. Although none of that money kind of got where it was meant to go.
Yeah.
Disappeared, thin air.
These things happen.
Yeah.
It's like a bagatelle game where the ball starts at the top and then it goes... And it doesn't. It just suddenly at the last minute falls down the wrong chute. It ended up in my bank account. Whoopsie.
It's like something. Have you seen The Simpsons when Mr. Burns and Homer go to Cuba? And he's got $1 trillion. And Castro's like, let me see it. And he goes, all right then. And he just goes, can I have it back? And he goes, can you have what back?
It's like, it got there because my sort code and account number is just one digit different to the orphanage.
That's the old Jack Warner. The old Jack Warner trick was give us the money for this national FA of a different country, but just put it in my account and I'll just make sure. It's just easier that
Father
way.
Ted.
Oh, hello, I'm in my new house.
There's less digits to punch in.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, it's time for this, people.
Going for gold. Gold.
Yes.
Going for gold.
Here we go.
I'll give you a load of clues as to a mystery footballer. You guys take it in turns. Well, you don't take it in turns. You buzz in when you know the answer.
One each between Marcus and I at the moment.
Well, what was the first week one? Last week was Henningberg that you got right.
Steve Grzybic.
Oh, Steve Grzybic. Yeah. That's right.
I wasn't going to get that one. I was pretty slow on the uptake.
A bit nervous.
Gentlemen.
Gentlemen, I mean, this is for the lead, isn't it, really? Gentlemen, your first clue is, I was born in Hammersmith.
Stop.
Have a dig, why not?
Jody Morris.
No.
Oh.
Wow.
Well.
I am now business director of a New Vision Sports Limited.
Stop, Jody Morris.
I retired... due to a knee injury and converted to Islam.
Stop.
Shut up.
Ronnie O'Sullivan.
What's wrong with you? I was an FA Cup winner in 1997. I once conceded a penalty in an FA Cup final, a match I got a runners-up medal for. I once had a Kid and Play style high top fader haircut and I look stupid.
Stop.
No.
Des Walker.
No.
Oh.
I have a UEFA Cup Winners' Cup medal. I was loaned out to Cardiff City in 1992. My wife's initials are ZN. That's a big one.
Not that I don't know it isn't.
My first act at Chelsea was to wash the seats at Stamford Bridge. I have assisted Roberto Di Matteo at two different clubs. Oh my days! It's Eddie Newton!
Eddie Newton! I was never gonna get that!
Why not?
It's just too hard!
It's Eddie Newton!
Are you annoyed?
I can't believe I've defeated you two.
That, I mean, I'm disappointed given that it's Eddie Newton is one of my favourite bits of commentary of all time as well.
my wife's initials are ZN. He was Roberto Di Matteo's assistant.
I didn't know that.
At MK Dons and...
I didn't know that.
Oh, dear me. Well, you've disappointed me and probably the listeners as well.
There'll be listeners screaming, it's Eddie Newton everywhere.
It's 1-1-1.
Yeah, well,
Jimmer's going to walk back in and think, oh, I missed
easy.
Much.
Yeah, yeah.
Dear, oh dear.
Oh, my days.
Thank you for your
email,
lady.
It's email time. Who's going first? Oh, I'd like you to, Pete.
All right, then. This is from Blair. Ramblers, he says...
That's us.
I felt inclined to let you know a little factoid about that goal that David Beckham scored against Wimbledon. Did you know he was wearing the boots of the great Charlie Miller?
No.
At the time.
Ex-Rangers.
David Beckham had asked Adidas to get him some Predators to try because he'd heard that they were really, really good. And the only pair available were made for Rangers player Charlie Miller because he was a size 8 and there's not that many footballers with size 8 shoes.
Oh, right.
And in fact had Charlie embroidered on the tongue.
That's a lovely little fact.
That's a lovely little fact, Richard. Isn't it?
If it's true.
Yeah, it is definitely true. I double checked it, so there.
Oh.
Also thought you might like to give Wraith a mention. We are pretty ridiculous, in truth, from winning the League Cup in 1994 and playing Bayern Munich in the UEFA Cup to Claude Anelka, brother and agent of Nicholas, buying his place as the Wraith manager and filling the team with players from the Paris Seven-a-side League.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
We also provided the full-back for Duncan Ferguson's headbutt that he went to jail for. Oh, yeah. And Gordon Brown's a fan too. Anyway, love the show. Gizem. attention, will ya?
Yeah.
I presume he's Scottish.
It's Claude now, not Cloud. He's not a cloud.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm a cloud. Coming
it's
to rain on your career in the
club. It's like Claude Makélélé. Cloud Makélélé.
We mentioned Ray last season, I think. They were going well for a while, and one of their players, I forget, wasn't he? He was arrested after the game, or he was found out they were.
Oh, but he violated his probation or something. Yeah, or his restraining order.
He wasn't. And it was kind of like on. He scored, and the police were like, oh. He must be at the game then.
You're only technically, because you're only supposed to be so many yards away, you're only allowed in your own half. I got an email. It says from David Hall in Lancaster.
Ah.
He would probably say Lancaster though. Morning team ramble. After hearing of former players as teachers at our school, we had a PE teacher in Ben Lavelle who played for Morecambe between 1990 and 1997. Nothing strange about that.
No.
Only when you look at his stats, it was over 7 spells, holding the record for the most debuts at a club.
That's class. That is brilliant. What, so he went there every year?
Right.
Surely technically every player does that because they've got the close season off and they come back.
I've literally not checked it. I used to be a referee, and whenever we came back from half term or summer holiday, instead of the usual how was your holiday teacher small talk, all I got from Mr. Lavelle was, you still reffing, knowing that I was earmarked for every school game going.
Oh, it's a running joke.
Did you say no?
Good one, David. Right, any more footballers as PE teachers? We seem to have sort of mined a pretty rich seam on this. I didn't expect this to happen at all, but that's two.
I'm sure it happens quite a lot. Yeah, let's if any of you guys want to get in touch, it's Shaw at the Football Ramble. Yeah. Let us know if any of your PE teachers, or any teacher, I guess.
Yeah. But come on, it's going to be a PE teacher.
I can imagine Stuart Pearce doing CDT or something.
Was he not an electrician or something?
He was a lecky, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, yeah. That's
Sparky.
Right. Good man. Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. And, it's Graham James Souness.
James doesn't seem right for some reason.
It's too genial.
Graham Jim Souness?
Yeah, I think that's better, yeah. Jimmy.
Good old Jim.
That's the one. Born on the 6th of May 1953.
14 years before the Summer of Love.
Uh-huh, and I bet he embraced that summer as well. A midfield maestro.
What was Graham Souness doing in the Summer of Love at the age of 14?
I possibly can't.
Pulling heads off insects, I reckon.
No, he wouldn't do that. He'd like put his finger on the back of an insect
and make it walk itself to death.
Yeah. Yeah. Walk yourself in half, mate. That's what he'd be saying.
What are you doing?
Just carry on. leave us.
A midfield maestro.
Yeah, what a midfielder. What a player.
I think it's safe to say he wouldn't be out of place on a greatest Liverpool 11 selection sheet.
I'd like to know whether they've obviously done those teams over the years, and I'd like to know if he's ever in one, because I think he's probably worth it.
Let's wait to see what happens in the unfolding
let's
of
do
the
that.
Profile.
Unfold, sir.
Now then, he started off his professional career at Tottenham Hotspur.
Oh, that's right, he didn't play for me, did he?
He didn't play. Well, I think he played one match. But he was 17, and it was under Bill Nicholson, fellow inductee.
Yeah.
And he went to see him, and he demanded a fair chance in the first team.
To the great Bill Nicholson.
Yeah, that's right.
That's unlike him.
I want a fair chance.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, I'm playing here. I'm playing.
Look, that's gone.
Okay.
After Nicholson disagreed, Souness left. Not having that.
No.
So
it's either you or me. All right, I'm off. You won the double, I'm off.
Yeah. He went over to the North American Soccer League to play for Montreal Olympic. And after that, he went to Middlesbrough for $30,000. And he played quite a lot of games at Middlesbrough. He was there for a good number of years. Jack Charlton was in charge for a period of time there when he was there. And Big Jack gave Souness a talking to as he learned that Souness loved a bit of the old nightlife, didn't he?
Oh, I bet he did.
Big Jack Charlton said, look, you can be a great footballer if you behave, or it could ruin your career. You know, he was one of those ones. Yeah. So Souness listened to that, but a few years later, went back to his old ways, broke the club's disciplinary code, and nearly quit the game. But he got a call from Liverpool, and they offered him a contract, and they bought him from Middlesbrough for £352,000, which was a transferred record between English clubs, I think, at the time. Now, bearing in mind, here's a guy who is out of sorts. He's in trouble with the club. He's a bit of a boozer and whatnot. And the European champions come along and go, well, we'll have.
I've seen something in him.
That's right.
What I said, yeah.
That's right. I'll quote the man here from when he moved to Liverpool, and he said, as a youth youth team player, you usually live in digs where there is someone to keep an eye on you. But when I moved from Middlesbrough to Liverpool, I was given a room at the Holiday Inn.
Oh, nice.
Which back then was possibly fancy.
Well, I think the point I'm making is he, in his own words, managed to nearly wreck his own career. He lived in the Holiday Inn for 9 months and earned the nickname Champagne
Alan
Charlie.
Partridge. Oh, right.
Champagne Charlie. Yeah. As he put it, the routine was quickly established.
Yeah.
He would go to training, go back for lunch and a few beers, get involved in a session at the cocktail bar, sleep between 4 and 7, then crawl back down for dinner. If that became a little bit too boring, as he put it, there was always a club open somewhere. And of course, a Liverpool player, more than happy to have him in there.
Did some football as well. Here and there.
On a Saturday afternoon. On his first day in Anfield, he noted that everyone was really sound. Everyone was really, no
terrified.
Yeah. No, he said there was no... He thought he expected some big egos and that. He said it wasn't too bad at all. He said that he made an error. He said... he asked Tommy Smith if he could borrow his hairdryer. Tommy Smith turned to Phil Neal and said, "Everyone's allowed to make one mistake."
Yeah. What a 70s dispute.
That's it.
Where's my brute aqua tonic?
His first goal for Liverpool was voted goal of the season. Great stuff.
Not bad.
Yeah. His last major contribution that season was a lovely pass to set Kenny Dalglish through to score the winner in the European Cup final. What a debut season. From start to finish.
And this is when he's been boozing the whole time.
But he really was a midfield general, and he was in there with Terry McDermott, which is just tough. Brilliant.
A couple of lovely moustaches.
Yeah. Oh, yesterday.
Yeah.
But
this is why football was better then.
His playing style, well, one could describe it as a mix of steel and finesse, because we go on about his aggression, which of course he had. I mean, he was absolutely nutter.
I know, he was capable of a light
but
touch,
but my goodness,
yeah.
He had a deft touch. A Liverpool fan famously said that he was a bear of a player with the delicacy of a violinist.
Yeah.
You know, a box-to-box midfielder with a real class touch.
A mixed simile.
Yeah. Indeed.
It's a confusing image. But I think I understand
what
it is.
It's the bear holding a violin. I'm confused.
Yeah.
He was a hard man.
Yeah.
But he did have...
He is a hard man.
He is a hard man. Still, very much so. But
you've interviewed him, haven't you?
I did interview him, yeah. And I'll always... back him for that.
Yeah. But you said he was a nice chap, though.
Yeah, he was a lovely chap, yeah. Petrifying, but lovely. He was a good man. So, anyway, he left Liverpool after winning lots and lots of trophies there in 1995 for Sampdoria. And when he got off the plane there, he just remembers thousands of people on the tarmac there to greet him. And he said a bouquet of flowers was given to his wife. He was getting kisses and hugs from old ladies. A Sampdoria shirt with number 11 was just put in his face. There you are. He just loved it. It was like the fucking president or something, you know. So, and whilst at the club, you know, people did speak of him as being a bit of a mentor to Gianluca Vialli and Roberto Mancini, amongst others.
Great stuff.
So he had a good time at Sampdoria. He helped them win the Italian Cup. I think he might have scored in the final, actually. And that was the first time, I think, they won the Italian Cup, Sampdoria. So he had a couple of successful years in Italy, and then he returned to Bonnie, Scotland, to become player-manager of Glasgow Rangers. Player-manager.
you don't see that in the top flight.
No.
Very
often. File that next to chips, people going around the keeper. You don't see it anymore.
Yeah.
Certainly not. You do see it, I think you see it a lot more in the sort of non-league and the lower leagues.
Yeah, you do. That's right. Yeah. Well, talking about a mentor for Gianluca Vialli, a player manager in the Premier League, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
For Chelsea.
Yeah.
Direct influence there, I think you'll find. Now, Rangers, people say, oh, well, yeah, he won a lot of trophies, but obviously he would at Rangers. But he was the one that turned it round. Rangers hadn't won the league since 1978, and he joined. He took over in 86. They hadn't won the league for 9 years, and he got them going, and he won the league with Rangers. And he got them into the force that they are now. Again, I mean, they've always been a big side of. But they weren't at the time.
Imagine having your manager on the pitch and he is the most frightening manager in the world.
I think we said this on the show before, because we had a question that if you were playing in the Premier League or whatever and you had a stinker in the first half, who's the last person you want as the manager? I think we all said Graham Souness. You'd be terrified.
Yeah, but also on the pitch you'd be like going, well, you're getting fined a week's wages for that crappy pass.
Yeah, he would be. Yeah, he would be.
Yeah, unforgiving, one could argue. Although he was fine with me. So,
yeah.
Man management.
Now, at the time, English clubs were banned from Europe because of the Heysel Stadium disaster. So Souness could tempt some England internationals to go and play for them. So they had the likes of Terry Butcher, Mark Hatley, Trevor Stephen, to name a few. Also signed the first Catholic player. I don't know if it was the first Catholic player for a while or the first ever in Maurice Johnson, who, the former Celtic striker. You know, it is a big
massive
deal.
Massive credit. Massive credit. Because you just basically said, I can't be a bigot.
Yeah.
How can I look at my kids in the eyes if I'm refusing to sign a player for
his religion or whatever?
His religion.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Johnson was a great player for Rangers as well. But it was a very bold move indeed, and as you say, good credit to him there. After great success, Rangers took over for Liverpool. And much has been said about his time there, because he's considered a failure. And
he was not hiding to nothing, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they had such sustained success. You know.
I mean, one could sort of try and argue his defence and say he took over a little bit of a difficult time, maybe an ageing squad, but you know, he did make some questionable.
As if Alex Ferguson quit, like, maybe two seasons ago and then had someone come in with, like, all them sort of players getting on a bit, Scholes, your Ryan Giggs, maybe Nicky Butt as well.
But in fairness to Souness, did he not give, like, a couple of their now legendary players their debut, though? Like, Fowler.
I think Jamie Redknapp, actually.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's around that time, definitely.
He did. I mean, they won the FA Cup in 92, but, you know, he did sell the likes of Beardsley and Ray Houghton and Steve Staunton and
Steve just McMahon. didn't really replace him.
Exactly, yeah. So, it's a shame, really, because his name was tarnished, really, for his managerial career at Liverpool, the club he was loved at, you know. Well, and I think he still is loved there for his playing days, but not as a manager.
I'd certainly say this inductee is a person who is a much better player than manager, though.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying he set the bar very high as a player. That's
it's two very different disciplines. And,
of course.
You look at the leading managers now, they didn't have any sort of footballing career.
Yeah.
But he did a great job at Rangers. He really didn't. And I know people say, well, anybody could do. But he took over at a time when it wasn't a full conclusion. But he was playing as well, so maybe that was a bit of a difference. Now, after Liverpool, he went to Galatasaray. He was eventually sacked from there, but he did manage one moment of...
Tell him about the flag.
I'll tell him about the flag. We've mentioned it before. He planted a Galatasaray flag in the middle of arch-rivals Fenerbahce's pitch after they just won the Turkish Cup against them. The footage is wonderful. He trots out with this great big thing, and he takes about eight goes trying to jam it into the pitch. It's so firm. He needed a police escort as well for his own protection. I mean, it is an incredible moment in
it's
Turkish
a
history.
For a manager, you sort of expect a little bit more reserve, a little bit more. Oh.
No, not in Turkey.
No. Soonest in Turkey.
Yeah.
Right. You do the math. He went to Southampton, kept them up in the Premiership, as it was then. I think his Southampton side are the only team to have scored six against Manchester United.
You won't be doing that any time soon.
yeah. Another highlight of his time there, of course, was giving Ali Deer a run out.
Yeah. It's all right, I've checked him. I've seen him. He's decent, this lad.
Yeah. George Weah's cousin?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was Christopher Wright. Who was
No, he was. He touted that he was George Weah's cousin.
Oh, okay. But he wasn't. Yeah.
Everyone's George Weah's cousin.
Yeah.
He hit the post, Ali Deer. It's not.
No, he never.
He hit the post in that game.
His own post?
No. I think it was due to like arch confusion all round, but he did hit the post. I'm sure he did.
How long did he get?
Well, the Southampton fans were emailing him if it's wrong, but I'm sure.
As soon as put him on, and about 15 minutes later, he was like,
it was a little bit longer than
he
that.
He came
I
off
think.
Again, yeah.
Was it?
He was sub for a sub, though. He was the holy grail of shitting this sub for a sub.
That's right. After Southampton, unsuccessful spells at Torino and Benfica, and then he went to Blackburn and won promotion and the League Cup.
Yeah.
So that was a good period.
Well with Dwight York.
He'd gone very well with Dwight York. Two-footer in training.
Yeah.
Was it? Andy Cole was incensed.
Set an example, Graham.
Didn't do too well towards the end of his time there. But became...
Did Souness, when he did it to Dwight York, did he go, and that's for being a terrible father.
Oh, dear. He became Newcastle United manager in 2004, didn't he, Pete?
He did, yes. I believe he got a whole floor at the Holiday Inn.
Like a shake.
Champagne Charlie.
He wasn't very good. He spent a lot of money and he wasn't very good for my money. But, you know, as we said...
It was your money? I'm surprised you're annoyed.
Viewed up there.
There was a highlight there too, making Kieran Dyer and Lee Bowyer apologise in front of the media.
It was great with sort of like shitty players that were just getting uppity sort of players.
That was
like Jermaine Jennis and... Jermaine Jennis. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, disciplinarian.
I believe you two have got something to say.
Yeah.
Craig Bellamy. Yeah, never, it's all right.
Gordon Bennett fighting fire with fire. Yeah, wasn't he the chairman there? Now, I heard a story once upon a time that Souness was so annoyed. This was when Celestine Babiara was at the club. He was so annoyed with Babiara, wasn't pulling his weight. Now, this is Freddie Shepherd also called Babiara a disgrace for the same reason. And I've heard, whether it's true or not, I can imagine it certainly is. And I'm going to believe it. As soon as one training session, he was so incensed that he challenged Babiara in front of everybody to a race around the pitch. And I think Souness nearly pipped him.
How old was he at this point?
I think Souness was like 50 or something like that. Or maybe it wasn't that old. How old Souness would have been?
Do you reckon he's
well,
one
yeah,
of,
he would have.
Do you reckon Souness is one of these?
He'd have been 50, 51.
Do you reckon he's really competitive with his kids?
I'd like to think so. I'd like to think so.
Really competitive with his bids if Albert Luque's 10 million and Jean Alain Boone's song's 8 million.
Blimey.
Take it into consideration.
Blimey O'Reilly. He's a good pundit, though, at the moment.
Excellent
on TV.
Yeah.
He really is a good pundit.
I like him on the Sky Sports advert where he jumps up and down, but he looks really self-conscious where he's on that sort of podium. Yeah. If you check him out, he's on the far left and he sort of goes,
he doesn't know.
I don't really want to be here.
He's an actor, Pete.
Do you reckon that when he was told to do that, he sort of tried to negotiate by saying, I don't know, it looks a bit feminine. Can I have an axe? Can I have an axe in my
hand? Shield at least.
Some sort of war hammer?
Can I be bleeding?
Can there be blood? Yeah.
Anyway, I shall end with this. The factoid. He was voted number 9 in the poll of the 100 players who shook the cop and conducted on Liverpool's official website. So they still hold a place for him in their hearts, and there's now a place for him in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame. Come in, Graeme Souness. Champagne Charlie. Yeah. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. That is the end of the Football Ramble. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, and the website is TheFootballRamble.com. Luke, what's going on over there?
Highlights from this week. We're delighted to welcome Jacob Steinberg on board. He wrote a great piece about Wes Brown and the value of that signing for Sunderland. Chris Mann chipped in with a piece about Arsenal's apparent crisis, and lots of other bits and pieces. The forum is TheFootballRamble.com/forum. A great thread on there this week was somebody posted some pictures of Bursaspor's new stadium. Now their nickname is the Crocodiles.
Brilliant.
And their new stadium, which is about to start being built, is in the design of a crocodile around the outside of
that
it.
That is super.
And the mouth is one end and the tail is the other end.
That's different class.
It's got to be seen to be believed. It's amazing. It's thefootballramble.com/forum. Check that out.
And if you put a rubber band round it,
you can't open its mouth. No one can get out.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah.
Super.
Speaking of Steinberg, hasn't he got beautiful eyes? And that's where I'll leave it.
Yeah.
Regarding Ramble X, a couple of people have tweeted in and emailed in. We're not doing it anymore. But we'll find some way to sort of.
We're just moving all that stuff into the main show because it'll be easier for everyone. Yeah.
Also, PFC, I'll just do stuff when I want to. All right.
Yeah. Don't restrict him.
Don't
to
restrict
a day of the week.
Me to a Friday.
Don't restrict any of us. Right then, I think that's it. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. Enjoy yourselves.
Welcome back, Group T. About to begin Serbia and Ghana. Before we go any further in our coverage, may I apologise to our viewers who may have taken offence to Graham's remarks just before the break.
Monto goes off for the challenge, the first man ever to be sent off in a World Cup final.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.